Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, beloved ones, and welcome to the Holistic Ministry Show. I am Minister James Browning, and I'm broadcasting live this morning from Phoenix, Arizona. We're grateful and wonderful that you're here. I don't know about you guys, but I am full of gratitude this morning and just grateful that God woke me up and brought me to another state of life and another opportunity to be able to be with you guys and to be able to share with you and to be able to bring some wisdom and knowledge that comes from the Creator. And I'm just grateful this morning. We have a really, really exciting show this morning. We have a special guest, which I'm going to be announcing in a few minutes. And I want you guys to give her your full attention because you have some wisdom and knowledge to bring to you that's going to be very good for you to be able to participate in. Okay, well, like I said, all my old listeners, welcome for coming back. Thank you so much. And all my new listeners, thank you as well for tuning on. And, guys, I know that I really am grateful that you're here today. There's a lot of challenges going on out there in the universe, and I think you're in the right place to get information. We definitely need to know how to tap into our source and to be able to make life better for us as we market and go through these challenges of called life, you know. But it's all good. If you got wisdom and knowledge, we're going to be able to make it through, so have no fear. Well, you know, for all you've been listening for a while, you know I always open up with a prayer, and then I'm going to announce our guest speaker. But let's do prayer first, and so we can get her on air and bring this vital message that we need to hear. Okay? So, all right, let's do prayer. Father, Mother, God, we give gratitude and thanks for another wonderful and marvelous day, God. We thank you for blowing breath in our bodies this morning. We thank you for being there with us and supporting us and taking us to a higher state of consciousness and a higher state of awareness, God. We surrender all to you, knowing that you are the source that keeps us going and you are the energy within us. We know that you're inside of us just like a wave is in the ocean, and we do not have to look outside but look inward for your support and for your help. So we said thank you, God, for being God in our lives, and just thank you for carrying us through. Thank you for the wisdom and knowledge that you have given us this week and that you have allowed us to experience. We thank you for everything that showed up in our lives, even the things we did not quite understand, because we know that from everything that show up, is a learning experience, and that we have created it all. So we embrace it, accept it, and learn from each thing that show up. We pray this morning for divine protection from all of those beloved frontline workers who are out dealing with this pandemic and doing what they need to do. We pray, God, your divine protection around the nurses and the doctors and the caretakers, all who have to go out and help and support. We pray for all those beings that you give them divine protection and divine support. We pray for all those who are being challenged with sickness this morning, any dis-ease that is taking place in their body. We ask you, God, to give them comfort, give them assurance that all is well, and letting them know that you are the source that will be able to bring them into their perfect health, and that you will be with them and guide them and keep them safe. We pray this morning for divine protection for our country. We pray for the divine protection of our politicians, that they will be able to come together and to govern in a sense for the highest of all, and that they will avoid their conflicts and pettiness, and that they will begin to help the people on all aspects. God, we know that your hand is on America, your hand is on the world, and we know that however it may appear to us, that you are in charge and you are really the source that brings things in the proper perspective as it should be. And we are so grateful for you, God. And ask you to continue to protect us and continue to allow us to move into that higher state of consciousness. And we are so grateful and we are so full of gratitude. So we thank you, God, and so it is, so it is. So this morning, beloved ones, we thank you, and we're going to get on with today's show. Life is a state of consciousness, and I have a very special guest minister on this morning. Well, she's not a guest. She She helps us on some other occasions as well. But this morning is her first time doing the full morning show, and we are so grateful that she is in. We have Minister Pearson this morning, and she is going to be your host today. Minister Pearson is a very astute metaphysical minister. She is working on her doctorate at the University of Sedona. She has a master's degree now, and she's really working to take it to a higher state, and she's committed to do this spiritual work. She's also a spiritual psychic reader, and she's helping many of people all over the country, all over the world to understand and to come to where they are and to help them to be able to figure things out and to help them to be able to ascend to that higher state. And also, she is a member and on a trustee on the board for the Edgar Cayce Foundation, which you know, a very profound organization. So Minister Pearson is busy, and she knows what she's doing. So I ask you to open your minds, open your hearts, and allow her to speak to you this morning and touch you in the way you need to be. I will probably end up on closing out. But anyway, guys, I'm going to now bring about Minister Pearson. Minister Pearson, are you there and ready to go?
Yes. Yes, Minister Browning, and thank you for that wonderful introduction. I am so grateful for this opportunity to speak with you all today about a topic that I am very passionate about. So greetings to all my brothers and sisters who are tuning in. I'm broadcasting from Bridgeton, New Jersey, and as said, my message today is life is a state of consciousness. And this is something that you probably already have considered and possibly come to terms with. And in that, it's well that we remind ourselves what it is that we really believe and have, and then stand on those premises. We who are inclined to embrace life from a metaphysical perspective do so because it provides truths that encompass understanding the universe as a whole in the most basic and general way, and all that that entails from the divine to the practical, and not so practical nuances of nature and the essence of humanity in all its facets. In that profound ecosystem, we may be inclined through deep contemplation to ask, what is the key to life, and how do I actualize or demonstrate it in my life? The answer is that we have the key to life already within us. It's all around us. The key to life is that life is a state of consciousness. This key to life, that life is a state of consciousness, has been subscribed to since ancient times. For example, in ancient Egypt, or Kemet, which it was originally called, a lot of the teachings and trainings in the mystery schools were based on the belief that life is a state of consciousness. Kemet, or ancient Egypt, is where Aristotle even obtained the foundational work that was eventually labeled metaphysics. Even in the teachings that have been subscribed to Yeshua support this assertion. It was in Kemet where, while studying in the mystery schools, he obtained the knowledge that his teachings were founded on. And today, quantum physicists are making groundbreaking discoveries that confirm this truth. So, if you embrace this belief or knowing, then it stands to reason that the explanation of all your problems, the explanation of all your difficulties, as well as the explanation of your triumphs in life, boil down to this, that life is a state of consciousness. That's the beginning and the end. It's the final step in metaphysics. All the other steps lead up to that. That last truth is that life is consciousness. You are, and you have, and you do in accordance with your consciousness. That's it. That's the beginning and the end. That's the foundational premise of Yeshua's teachings, healings, miracles, everything that he spoke. If you study the Gospels, you'll see that he didn't heal everyone. He didn't address everyone. He did something very profound. He would ask them if they believed they could be healed or that he could heal them. That spoke to me as a test to their level of consciousness, their state of consciousness, whether they had the foundational consciousness of healing, whether they had the foundational consciousness of health. He would also say over and over again, if you only believe, and belief is based on your state of consciousness. There are other ways of looking at life which are superficially correct, but ultimately the final truth is that your life is a state of consciousness. It's been supported by physicists. They did an experiment where they looked at a hand through a high-power microscope, and it no longer looked as it did to the naked eye. It appeared as resonating energy, and energy is the expression of consciousness. So we are the very consciousness that we walk in. Your so-called physical body is the embodiment of a part of your consciousness. Your home is the embodiment of your state of consciousness. The kind of work you're doing, whether you are working in something that you love or a job that you really don't like, it's an expression of your consciousness at that point. The kind of people you meet and the people you attract into your life are the expressions of your consciousness about your fellow human beings who are your sisters and brothers, just by the very nature that we are consciousness. If you're in company with people or a person that you say you can't get along with because of this or that, then I'm here to tell you, like attracts like. So maybe you need to look within yourself and identify where you may be harboring some of the same foundational behavior or something within you believes you deserve that kind of connection. It's a Edgar Cayce quote. He says, "For that what we condemn in another, we must meet within our own selves." And that's a pretty profound summation. It's the same when you're in company with those or someone that just resonate with you. You feel really harmonious. You feel good about them. You like where they're coming from. They're like-minded. Seeing their positive qualities says those qualities are also within you, because the law of being says like attracts like. The ultimate explanation is that life is a state of consciousness. Unless you change your state of consciousness, nothing else can change. All trouble, all disappointment, all depression, all limitation is a state of your consciousness. But just as all your joy, your accomplishments, your positive interactions, and so on, they are a state of your consciousness. It's unfortunate that people are trying to change outer conditions but leaving their consciousness unchanged, because when you boil down to it, it just can't be done. So if you're swimming upstream, fighting the current with situations or people in your life, check yourself, get quiet, look within, and identify what level or state of consciousness you are buying into. The only fundamental way to change things is to change your consciousness, because you always must and always will get the conditions that belong to your level or state of consciousness. You can't cheat nature. You can try to use the willpower, certain things that do not belong to you, but you can only keep them for a short time. The moment you take your hands off, they fly away. For example, you draw in the perfect job or source of prosperity only to lose it, and leaving you perplexed as to why that happens. It could be that you attracted in short-term prosperity but couldn't hold on to it because of the right of consciousness. Your consciousness was not set in terms of prosperity, so you couldn't hold on to it. Your consciousness has to be solidly attuned to that level of prosperity, and then it's something that stays with you for a long period of time, or you've manifested in a way that substantiates your level of consciousness for prosperity. A supportive example, the lesson that can be gleaned from the story of Joseph in Genesis, in summation, which I'm sure you know the story of Joseph, Joseph maintained the consciousness of a prosperous life in spite of all the trials and tribulations he faced. He digressed to believing and holding to what was divinely given to him in a dream, ordaining him as a profound leader to which his family would one day bow down to. He was sold into slavery, falsely accused, and jailed. But that did not diminish the power held within his consciousness of his having one day an opulently prosperous life. You know the end of the story. He went on to attract becoming the prime minister of Egypt, and his brothers ended up bowing down to him when they were in need of help. When you look at it from a health perspective, the same thing applies to health. You can compel a certain part of the body to picture health for a short time, but if you don't have the consciousness of health and well-being, you can't keep it. A person heals of one ailment only to attract another ailment, or the original ailment returns. There are temporary cures, but there are attempts to put into the body something that doesn't belong there by reason of the person's state of consciousness. When you want to solve your problem or change your life, you can see at once that the only way is to change your consciousness. Nothing can come to you permanently. Nothing can stay with you permanently except what you are entitled to by your level or state of consciousness. Your mind and body, your home, your city, your country, even the universe is a picture of consciousness. Your private life outpictures your own consciousness. The national life is the outpicturing of the national consciousness, which is what is being experienced in the United States and some other parts of the world at this time. National consciousness is shifting to a higher state of consciousness, so the paradigms are shifting. Therefore, we're seeing the advent of change. So you see how counterproductive it is to try to change the outer picture without changing your inner consciousness. If you're struggling in your finances, relationships, or even within yourself, and the problems incurred seem unsolvable, know that the solution can be found within the very fabric of your own consciousness. What you hold to and believe around any one circumstance will fuel the outcome of your experiences. The real trouble is in your consciousness, And all the time you were trying to work on outer things and leaving your consciousness unchanged, with that permanent good may it lead you. I want to share a story from metaphysician Emmett Fox that serves as an example that drove this concept home for me. Okay, the story is that the movies came to the big cities first and finally arrived in a remote mining camp in the Rockies. The picture was announced and the tent was put up. The residents had never been to a movie. The tent was packed with cowboys and miners, and at the given moment, during the showing of a blood-curdling melodrama, the villain began to choke the heroine. A cowboy in the front row pulled out his gun and fired 6 shots into the villain, and everyone laughed because in those days, that type of activity wasn't unusual. There were only a few bullet holes in the screen, and of course the picture went on the schedule. Why do we laugh at the cowboy? We laugh, but should be asking, what should he have done? And I ask you to listen closely. Instead of firing at the screen, he should have turned around and fired at the projector. That would have stopped the picture. Too often, you try to change outer things instead of changing the inner, in that you are firing at the screen instead of the projector. So nothing happens. But when you start to change your consciousness, you're firing at the projector, and then things happen. If you don't like the picture on the screen, change the reel. If you didn't like the picture you were seeing and would like to see some other, you wouldn't get a cloth and try to rub it out off the screen like you're rubbing something off a blackboard. You would take out that reel and put in a reel you want. The scientific way to approach life, if you don't like the picture you're getting, is to change the reel. How do we change the real? By rising in consciousness. The way to meet a problem is to raise your consciousness. If you do, the problem disappears. In the Bible, the valleys always stand for trouble, sin, limitation. The mount stands for uplifted thought, and prayer stands for understanding. We must go up on the mount as Yeshua did time after time. We must raise our consciousness. Most people who have a problem concentrate on the problem. They take it to bed with them and they stay awake all night thinking it over. I've been there and I'm sure you can relate to that. What you're called to do from the divine within you is to let go of the problem. As you have heard, let go and let God, as in the God within you, as your God, God itself, that is calling you to rise above it in your consciousness. How can you do this? By becoming still and tuning in to your inner awareness, meditating on affirmations, reciting them when centered within, reading spiritually based books, and conducting your own research around that which speaks to you. Because getting validation works wonders to substantiate your beliefs and ground you in them. There are many ways, including spending time in nature and just feeling the beauty and grandeur of it. Whatever speaks to you is right for you, and will assist you with raising your consciousness and giving you a broader perspective. Consider this. If a diver goes to the bottom of the sea, he wears lead shoes. But if he wants to come up to the surface of the water quickly, he kicks off the lead shoes. Then he rises rapidly. the lead shoes are likened to all the mentalizing we do that is generated by ego that only serves as obstacles to opening to our proclivity to rise in consciousness. When we rise in consciousness, we tip off our lead shoes, and then we begin to be healed. But you have to heal the consciousness. There's no other way. The great key to consciousness lies in the Word. It is said the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. That's from John 1:1. It stands to reason, if you are God, the very I am, made in thy image and likeness, then your word can bring all things into being as the same. If you look at what you're manifesting in your life, you can probably identify the level or state of your consciousness by what you're experiencing. As a more in-depth look at the Word, the first chapter of John is a reflection of the first chapter of Genesis. The word Logos means the great creative word. The great creative word is I am. In some metaphysical schools of thought, it's the secret of life. We're given it in Deuteronomy, and Yeshua identifies himself with it, with the I am. It is said that Yeshua was a great reader of Psalms, Isaiah, and Deuteronomy. My sisters and brothers, the key to life is not somewhere outside of life or even outside of yourself. You can't go up to it. No great seer or saint or minister will come up and bring it down for you. It's not thousands of miles across the sea. It's with you all the time. It's within you in all that you are as the I am, as the divine, as your God, God itself. It's the great secret that your state of consciousness writes the story of your life. All through history, humankind has felt intuitively that there's a way out, if only they could find it. We used to read fairy tales that tell that story over and over, like Aladdin with his magical lamp that he rubbed and received the things he wanted. And, of course, Cinderella, who is in the kitchen miserable and unhappy like so many others, and then voila, you know the story. But could that have happened for Cinderella without her changing her consciousness first? People have always felt intuitively that there's a way out, that it's not necessary to be angry, mean, resentful, bitter, and it's not necessary to grow old and die in a way that a lot of people are choosing. That's not necessary to fight and grab for property and food. What is life worth if living is to be a constant struggle for necessities? People have always known that there is a way out if only they can find it. They have always known that the divine means all life to be noble, creative, and joyous. It's true. There is a way out, and the way out lies in the spoken word. In the Bible, the word means any definitely formulated thought. I repeat, the word means any definitely formulated thought. It's not just the drifting thoughts that float through your mind off the top of your head. The word is creative, and the strongest and most creative of words is I am. When you say say I am, you're calling upon the universe to do something for you, and it will do it. When you say I am, you're drawing a blank check on the universe. It will be honored and cashed sooner or later, and the proceeds will go to you. If you say, I am tired, I am sick, I am poor, I'm fed up, I'm disappointed, I am getting old, you are drawing to you, to yourself, future trouble and limitations. You are drawing to yourself exactly what you are claiming through the use of your I am. When you say, I am useful, I am strong, I am joyous, I am divine truth, I am divine freedom, I am eternal substance, you are drawing unto yourself a bountiful harvest from an unlimited universe. Your I am will be honored. Take note, you don't have to use the actual grammatical form of I am. Every time you associate yourself with anything or think of yourself having anything, you are using a form of I am, because the verb to have is a part of the verb to be. I have means I am because you always have what you are and what you do what you are. And you are the very consciousness from which your life is built. So the significance of I am and what it means is whatever you associate yourself with, you bring it into your consciousness. For example, what is the first thing we do when we talk? We say, I am this or that. Whatever you say behind your I am is setting the stage for your state of consciousness. It's assisting with building your state of consciousness. We use countless labels that we use in conjunction with our I am, which oftentimes serves in creating prejudices or separation. Know that when you use a label in conjunction with your I am, you are defining yourself in defining universal terms, which contributes to the consciousness you will hold about who and what you are, your life, and the world around you. It's your I am, whether you use it or not. But there's one thing that no one can do for you. No one can speak your I am for you. No one can say I am for you or for another. In Revelation chapter 2, we read, to everyone who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give a white stone, and on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. Metaphysically, the white stone means your ascension into your divine nature because of its purity. The new name given represents your new character and your new life as you live through your God, Goddess self, your divine self. In that, when you speak your I am for yourself, from that perspective, you deeply nourish your soul and your life. It's your I am, and no one can use it but you. The I am is the divine in action. It's the divine working in you and through you as your God, Goddess nature, for you are not separated from the divine. The divine does not sit far up in the sky and send you a good idea. The divine is the I am giving you a new embodiment, a new creation. Whatever you believe, you create. You are the I am. Yeshua teaches this throughout the Gospels. The divine is realized in your consciousness, and you know the divine. You build your consciousness with your I am. No one else can do it for you. And I say lightheartedly, you can't cheat. You can't cheat with the I am. Appearances count for nothing. Your consciousness is built with your I am. According to your I am, so are your conditions. You are not using the I am only when you think and speak affirmations. There's sometimes a tendency to overrate affirmations, although we use them because they are a mandate of what we are to think. But the reality is that every action that you do all day long, you are building into your consciousness. That said, actions speak louder than words. You will never build anything into your consciousness until you do it with practice. For instance, meditating an hour in the morning after breakfast helps very little unless you carry the realization with you into your everyday living. Whatever your consistent actions are through your behavior is what is building into your consciousness. It's not just your thoughts and the words you speak that build your consciousness. It's also your practical conduct all day long, which builds up your consciousness. As an example, oftentimes we set aside time to meditate, read inspirational material, recite our affirmations, but with that, oftentimes, once that time is up and we're back in our daily routine, it's forgotten. We must have it deeply within and carry it all over into and throughout our daily life. You build your consciousness by the things you do all day long. It is by such things that we are judged, positively or negatively. The divine does not judge us. We judge ourselves by the consciousness we build, because life is a state of consciousness. So our self-judgment is exemplified in what we are experiencing in our lives based on our state of consciousness and what we're creating, whether it be positive or negative. I'd like to take the moment to explain why I use the label divine and God goddess. In my metaphysical school of thought, the divine is representative of both the divine masculine and the divine feminine. It's pure consciousness with the divine masculine and the divine feminine inclusively integrated, making it genderless. It's the source of power for all things created in the seen and unseen universe. That's the very consciousness that you are in your God, goddess self. The divine masculine and divine feminine integrated as one expression. Yeshua's ascension was a process to teach us how to ascend to that higher level of ourselves. He mastered the divine masculine, and the ascension was achieved to integrate the divine feminine. That's why Mary Magdalene was the key to the process as the 13th disciple. The number 13 is the number of the goddess. So as God Goddess, it is representative of the integration of the divine masculine and divine feminine, which is the ascension into the higher states of consciousness as the Christ self, as did Yeshua. Each represents a state of consciousness dimensionally. The divine masculine rules the fourth dimension, where the divine feminine rules the fifth dimension. Dimensions are states of consciousness. And because through patriarchy, the divine feminine was stripped away, what many are experiencing in this time is a transition into fifth dimensional consciousness as the resurgence of the divine feminine. Many came onto this earth already walking fifth dimension. And another point I'd like to make, it's choice which dimensional consciousness you will rest in, third, fourth, or fifth dimension. No dimension is higher or lower. It's just for the divine. There is no judgment. You can choose consciously or unconsciously which dimension or state of consciousness you want to think with. Through your own effort and inner explanation, you can begin to identify those aspects of yourself that holding on to aspects of your consciousness you might want to change or expand. You possess the divine power to mold and shape your consciousness into any state you choose. It's your choice to be consciously aware of what you feed into your consciousness while being mindful to do as the scriptures say, to guard your mind or consciousness against outside incompatible influences. Believe it or not, you have the divine power to unconsciously choose to mindlessly continue on the route of being thrown helter or skelter, creating unpleasant and pleasant circumstances like riding a roller coaster. It's all consciousness, and the consciousness is divine. You have unconditional choice to develop your consciousness and create your life in any way you choose. It's a free will universe that honors you with the divine right of choice. I'd like to present two true life case studies that you could assess intuitively what state of consciousness these two people are subscribing to. The first is a woman that I work with. Whenever I ask her how she's doing, she begins to talk about all her ailments, and her energy speaks like she's finding something very special about herself in this. She was in the process of medical care for an ailment, and I asked her how her healing was coming along, and she answered almost like an aside. She's like, it's fine. However, all my cars broke down, and now I'm struggling to get it fixed, and she went on and on about all these additional problems. This is the norm, new ailments on top of old ailments and issues and problems. And in that, she's content. You can tell she's very content. Can you intuitively identify her state of consciousness? Another woman I work with spends time meditating and building her divine state of consciousness. She came to the United States secured a corporate job, our house, and determined to live true to her heart's vision for her life no matter what. And that, can you intuitively identify her state of consciousness? Neither of them is better or worse. They are both experiencing life as they choose and subscribing to the state of consciousness they subscribe to. Both are content. You can see why Yeshua intuitively connected with those whose state of consciousness was ready for what he had to offer. There's no right or wrong choice. It's just what it is based on the state of consciousness you hold at the time you choose. The beauty is when you come from your heart center as that gut instinct or intuitive knowing center, which is the divine feminine, and both have been scientifically and medically proven to be far more powerful in consciousness than the head or brain center, which leans toward the divine masculine. And remember, it takes both integrated and working in unison, with courage to align with that through all that you speak, think, and do. Your consciousness rises to a self-empowering level, to that level where you are walking in your Christ self, higher self, God-Goddess self, and creating absolutely amazing outcomes in your life. Yes, it's true. You can have it all just by owning and walking in the state of consciousness that says it is so. When you, my sisters, and brothers, through your very state of consciousness, find the divine within you, you are on your way to creating your ideal, your vision for your life. No searching outside of yourself for a supreme idea of something that exists separately from you. through your I am, you are that very divine presence as your higher self, Christ self, God, Father self, through your very state of consciousness. You can gain an understanding of the divine nature and your very own divine nature that dwells within you. Through your very state of consciousness, you can experience the divine within yourself and within your world. You know how to practice the presence of the divine, but by allowing yourself to do that which is necessary to raise your state of consciousness, you will be the very presence of the divine in your God, God itself. That is coming to a place where you are seeing the divine everywhere, in all things, in all people, despite appearances to the contrary. And most brilliantly, you will live through the knowing, as Yeshua said, that you are God, and knowing that as a core component of your consciousness, your life will change. You will have the power to write a new script for your life production. You will set the stage to see and experience more of what your heart envisions for your life. In conclusion, I would like to piggyback off of Minister Browning's prayer and do a guided meditation with you. Hopefully that's okay. It will work along with the content of my message to you today. It's an exercise you can repeat for yourself, for it's designed to bring you deeper into your awareness and connection with all that is, and more so with your inner consciousness. This exercise meditation builds up your vital life force energy by connecting you more profoundly with your very consciousness as it is one with the all that is. So if you're sitting, I'd like for you to sit with your feet flat on the floor and make sure your spine is straight, for that allows your life force energy to travel fluidly through your central channel. Your central channel is where your chakras line up, your energy centers within your body. If you're not sitting, it's okay. Just make sure your spine is straight. Now, I would like for you to gently close your eyes. I'm going to guide you through the cleansing breath, where you will take a deep breath slowly, inhaling by pushing your abdomen outward, for this will allow you to fill your lungs completely. Now, inhale, hold it. Now exhale, releasing any tension. Again, inhale, hold it. Now exhale, releasing any thoughts. And the last time, inhale, hold it, and now exhale, allowing yourself to feel centered within. As you center within, I want you to bring your awareness into your body. Just bring your awareness into your body, even if you have to connect with your breath to do so. Bring your awareness into your body, feeling yourself inside your body. Be aware of your breathing and how it feels within your body. Now, expand your awareness beyond your body and allow it to fill the room. Feel your self-awareness filling the room or the area in which you are. Feel how you have expanded your awareness beyond your body and into the room or area where you are. Now, expand your awareness out into the street. into the outer world. Feel how expansive you are through your awareness of being one within yourself, within your surroundings, and now within the world around you. Be aware of how your mind, body, and spirit are one as your awareness takes in through feeling the world around you and your oneness with it. Now, slowly bring your awareness back into the room or the area you're in. And now slowly bring your awareness back into your body. Focus on your breath as you breathe slowly, inhaling and exhaling. Hold on to this awareness of being in your body, because for the closing, I'd like to guide you through the heart breath, where I'd like for you to imagine while you inhale deeply, pink light coming up from the earth through your feet, up through your body, into your heart. And at the same time, imagine pink light coming down from the heavens into your crown and down through your body into your heart. Now, slowly inhale, bringing the pink light into your heart from the earth below and the heavens above into your heart center. Inhale, hold it, and now slowly exhale as you imagine releasing the pink light of love from your heart out into the world. That is a shamanic practice. Now, become once again focused on your awareness of being your body, centered within. I ask you to remain centered in the comfort of your inner awareness. In feeling through your awareness, you are feeling the very divine consciousness that you are. And you can do this on your own, for it will serve to power up your vital life force energy and keep you in sync with your own inner awareness, your own inner consciousness. Thank you for allowing me to walk you through that. Now I would like to end with prayer. So I ask you to remain centered within your inner awareness and receive. In profound oneness and honoring of the divine, the all that is, I pray that you embrace the magnificence of all that you are created to be. I pray that you choose to express that magnificent light of the God Goddess within you in unconditional loving oneness with all that is, letting your light shine, bringing loving, healing, and change to the world. You are blessed with the divine power to do so. As the divine, in all that you speak, in all that you do, in all that you think, I pray you allow the God Goddess within to guide you to live true to the blessing you are to all in your world. I pray that you acknowledge the value you add to this world just by being who you are. I pray that you come to see, know, and embrace the divine beauty and perfection within you, and that divine beauty and perfection that shapes and fills your life. I pray that in all that you see within yourself, you apply divine temperance, understanding, compassion, while embracing the quiet charisma of your inner spirit. Your inner spirit guiding you to remain loyal to all that you are. I pray that you just embrace the raw divine essence of all that you are, seeing your life as a divine masterpiece of which you were and are the creating artist. I pray that you step up to the plate and minister as your heart directs you to the people that cross your path, because they are your audience. Acknowledging them is a divine beauty to offer to any brother or sister. So, in connecting with you and feeling you, I would like to send out through my heart breath unconditional love, peace, joy, and well-being to you. May the love and light of the divine enfold you. Thank you for divinely being my dear sisters and brothers.
Thank you so much, Minister Pearson. That was beautiful. That was a very knowledgeable session, and it was heartfelt. And we're grateful for you taking your time this morning to come and share with us, and I'm sure the listening audience was felt that message that came across, because it was very sincere. And yes, you are that I am present in you is a controlling force in your life, and we all must learn to tap into that I am power. We must learn to raise our consciousness, as beloved Minister Pearson said, your consciousness is key to your existence, and that is so necessary to change. Anytime you want to change condition, your physical condition, you change your consciousness, and you will see those physical conditions changing as well. And as you rise into your own feeling and becoming more aware of who and whom you are, gods and goddesses, that you will be more conscious of yourself and understand your power and understand your strength, that you are here to provide and to assist humanity in its growth. You not only came here to help yourself grow, but you came to help humanity grow. And so that is about how you allow your conscience to expand and to grow, that you help everyone. So, beloved ones, whenever you do work on yourself, when you raise your consciousness, you are raising the consciousness of the collective. So it is so important that if each one of us just do our part and raise our consciousness and understanding our true I am present, the whole world will be collectively become more powerful and a better place to be. So each one of us must take responsibility to raise our consciousness and raise our state of awareness, because we will make the difference. You will make the difference. And every time that you allow yourself to ascend, you're pulling someone else up too. And the same, when you allow yourself to dive into that deep, pessimistic attitude, you're bringing people around you down too. So we want to be able to be a plus. We want to be able to be an asset. So we want to make sure that we are able to rise above and stay in that high state of consciousness. Because that's the difference that's going to make for you to be able to do what you need to do while you're here, beloved ones. Your consciousness is key to where you allow your physical body to be. It is all in your consciousness. Your consciousness controls your physical body. It is your I am presence that's allowing you to have this temple and allow you to be able to do what you need to do. So, beloved ones, I thank you so much for taking your time out today to listen to beloved Minister Pearson, and we are so grateful for her, and she did a beautiful job. So we want to say thank you. Tomorrow morning at 7:30, I'll be back on the air with the Morning Inspiration Show for 7:30 Mountain Time, and look forward to seeing you there, and so grateful for you. Love you. Look forward to seeing you Monday and next Sunday. Okay, guys, have a beautiful and positive and wonderful day. I know you will, and continue to grow and continue to take time to work on your consciousness today and this week, that you commit to raising your vibration to a higher state of consciousness so you can help elevate us all And we say thank you. We are so grateful. We are so grateful, and so it is. Thank you, beloved ones. Peace and blessing to you.